Hey, what is up, everybody? Welcome back to a brand new episode of Preaching to Myself. Unless this is an old episode, in which case I'm glad you're listening too. My name is John Hill. You are listening to Preaching to Myself. And super stoked to have you guys listening. If you want to connect, if you have some kind of speaking engagement for teens or young adults, I've been doing this for many, many years. So reach out to me, hit me up on social media and any of my DMs. You can find the links to those on my Linktree, linktr.ee/preachingtomyself. That's Linktree/preachingtomyself. There you can find me on the social media. You can find other platforms that this podcast is on, so you can easily share it with all of your friends on whatever their preferred platform is. And also, you will find Amazon links to both the 90-Day New Testament Journal and the 90-Day Old Testament Journal, brand new, just came out a few weeks ago. The 90-Day Old Testament Journal, it's intense. It's a lot of reading if you're going to get the Old Testament done in 90 days, but I believe God's worth it. I believe His Word is worth it. It's worth really diving into, man. We say we want to spend eternity with Christ. You can give Him an hour a day of reading and recording any words that He has jumping out at you, man. God's Word is alive and active, and I believe that He will give you a fresh word every time you read through it. So it's totally worth it. So go to Amazon. It helps support us, and by us I mean me, because it's just me out here, guys. And so I'm just greatly appreciative of that. So hit up the Linktree to know where all the things are that I got going on. So let's dive right in. This week I wanted to talk about something that I've been personally struggling with. After all, this is called Preaching to Myself, right? I found myself caught in the trap of comparison, of comparing myself to others or comparing my situation to others, and it gets you nowhere. It just leaves you empty. So I wanted to take a deeper look at that. And like I said, man, this is Preaching to Myself, and I hope that this is good for you. So hey, if you've got a Bible, if you've got a notebook, listen, if we're preaching, we're preaching, right? So if you don't have a notebook for taking notes in church, one of the first episodes that I ever did of Preaching Myself was 10 Things I Wish I'd Told Myself Sooner. One of those things was be a student. Being a student at church, looking at church as this is learning, this is a class, this is lectures in college. Like, I'm supposed to be gleaning information. I'm supposed to be collecting knowledge. And how am I going to retain things if I'm not writing it down? Following Jesus is not a spectator sport. Like, we're supposed to be active, right? And every pro athlete watches game tape. They take notes. They do the studying. It's not all just hitting the gym and stuff like that. You got to really be a student of the faith. So get out a notebook, get out your Bible, and let's dive right in. Let's talk about comparing. Write this down. How we look at others matters because it says a lot about how we see ourselves. I know that's a lot to write down. It's still tweetable, but still not small enough. How you look at others matters because it says a lot about how you see yourself. So in James chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says this. If you want to write it down for later, James chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand over there, or you sit on the floor by my feet, have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom He promised those who love Him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? I mean, come on. Y'all feel that these days, right? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing right. If you keep the law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. Listen, if you're in church and you hear something like, nah, you can't sit in front and center at church. The cameras might see you. I don't think you have the right look that we're going for. We're just trying to keep an image. You ever heard this kind of stuff? Maybe you haven't. You ever say this kind of stuff to yourself? Because I know I have. Favoritism requires comparison. Comparing people's looks and status and wealth and influence, possessions, will all leave you biased against others and against yourself. If all you're doing is looking at, man, like, they got this, and man, how can they afford that? In this economy, I can't. And we just compare. Man, I wish that I just lost some more weight like him. Man, I just wish I had it like this. Man, I wish that I could afford to dress like that. Man, I wish that I could afford to, you know, get a nice trim, you know, get a nice haircut like every other week. Like some people keep their hair real tight. Man, I wish I had the means. I wish I had this and that. I wish I was there in my career. I wish that I had that job. I wish, guys, do you know how many years I've spent sitting in church services thinking, man, if I could feed my family off of teaching Jesus to people, you know how envious I've been of pastors over the years? Can I be real vulnerable with y'all? I mean, too late, but I've been envious of one of the hardest jobs out there because it seems like such a privilege, such an honor, but I still have the honor of providing for my family. I still have, you know, and so I have to step back and be like, man, am I just looking for a title? Where I've just thought like, man, if I just had the title, man, if I just had the job, it would be so cool if I could be able to do ministry as my career. As it turns out, that stuff is hard. It's hard. It's not an enviable position. There's a lot of pressure. Imagine your career, the thing that you feed your family off of, is like, yes, awesome. You get to minister to people and tell, but also it is constantly under attack by the enemy. And it's infinitely more complicated than we think. You ever hear the phrase, comparison is the thief of joy? It's kind of true. Wherever you are, whatever aspect of your life that you're comparing yourself where God has you right now with other people, you're telling God, this isn't good enough for me. You should have done something else. Boy, I don't want to get caught talking like that to God. But that's what we're doing. If you compare your wife or your marriage to another woman, fellas, you're going to start resenting her and yourself. Same goes for every other aspect of your life. If I'm envying pastors, then I'm going to start to resent my job and myself. Man, I should have done this. Whatever it is. Man, I wish I looked like this. I'm going to start to resent myself because I'm attacking myself for where I'm at right now. Even if where I'm at right now is the result of just me being dumb and making bad decisions. Okay, cool. It is what it is. We'll talk about that in a second. But see, social media is a liar. It all looks so glamorous when we're mindlessly scrolling on Instagram. But see, those intrusive thoughts come in when you're around people that are in a different place than you. You start to feel insecure about yourself. Those thoughts are liars. See, there's two kinds of things in your life. There are the things that you can change, and there are the things you can't change. For the things you can change, if you're unhappy with it, then plan some actions to fix it. And for the things that you can't change, for the things that are just, it is what it is. They're immutable characteristics, or they're just outside of my possibility of influence. For the things you can't change, seek contentment. Paul talks about contentment in one of the most greatly out of context used scriptures of all time. Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to start in verse 11. Says this: I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. By the way, it's Paul writing this. Dude has been locked up so many times just for preaching the way of Jesus. Locked up unjustly, unfairly, but locked up for the cause of Christ. I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. Which also tells me this: contentment is learned. You don't just wake up with it one day. It's not, he didn't even say, I prayed for contentment and the Lord just gave it to me. It took practice and discipline. He said, I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. That scripture is not about sports. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, whether I have a whole lot or not a lot. You know how it feels to have to be like, man, like, I don't know if I'm eating this week. I don't know if I'm eating this week, bro. That's a bad spot to feel. That feels bad. As a man, fellas, like, you got my back on this. To not be able to provide for your family feels like you failed. You failed as a man is what it feels like. I can do all things through Christ because He gives me strength. To be content is to be secure and unshaken in the confidence of Christ and His provision. To be content is to be secure and unshaken in the confidence of Christ and His provision. I know that some dude's signature is on your paycheck, or if you're self-employed, the provision is not from you. The provision is from God, Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides. I've seen it. Ask Holly, we've seen it. I don't know if I'm eating next week. Wait, where'd this extra money in the bank account come from? Because we budgeted all of it. Like, the numbers have been crunched. It can only crunch but so many times. Where did this extra money come from? And it's just there, and we just have it, and it's just faith, and you just go. And you thank Jesus along the way. You just go. So don't compare your situation to other people. Don't measure yourself up with somebody else. How are you measuring yourself? You measuring yourself with man's measuring stick or with God's? If the stick with which you measure yourself is the one of man, you're always going to come up short. Man is never satisfied. There's always something more. There's always more that you could be doing. Can I just get an amen? There is always something more you could be doing. If I sit, I'm like, oh, but there's laundry. There's always something more you could be doing. There could be more for your job, more for your church. Can I get an amen? The church always needs help. They're going to keep asking. And they're not going to be hurt if you say no. It's not going to hurt their feelings. I promise you, it's not going to hurt their feelings if you have to say no to some things. You could always be doing more for your home. God is the one that provides. He's the yes that I want to give. Seeking recognition for stuff, like life is some kind of fetch quest and the reward is the validation that we don't even need to begin with. If you are using man's measuring stick to compare yourself, you are just going to hustle yourself into the ground. It's just hustle and hustle and grind and grind. But man, who are we really working for? Jesus told this parable in Matthew chapter 20 about some workers that were working for a master in a vineyard. So these workers at the beginning of the day, they agreed with the master for a certain wage, don't know how many gold doubloons they agreed to. But they agreed to a wage and they went to work. Later on in the day, a few more workers came on to join into the work party. At the end of the day, the master gave everybody the same wage. The guys that showed up later and the ones that have been there all day. And the guys that were there all day were pissed. They felt like they should get paid more because they worked more. The master said, "Hey, you agreed to this wage. Can I not do how I please with my own possessions?" Every time we compare ourselves to somebody else, we're telling Jesus, "Hey, whoa, not fair. He got this. What about me?" God's like, "It's all mine. It's all mine. Who are you to tell me what to do with my possessions?" Listen, just because you work harder or longer does not mean you deserve any more or less from God. Please write this down. Your reward in Christ is not performance-based. All caps, underline. Your reward in Christ is not performance-based. There is nothing that you can physically do to make God love you anymore. Being his creation, merely existing, is enough. See, to God, my value is intrinsic. To man, my value is based on my output. Fellas, you ever feel like that? Ladies, you ever feel like that? Man, people only value me if I'm outputting. People only value my results. People only value my work. People only value me when I do something. Like, I have value. This world is going to sell you short every single time based on who you are. They only care about what you do. That's why when you meet somebody, one of the first things they ask is, "Oh, what do you do?" Not, "Tell me about yourself." It's, "What do you do? What value do you add? What do you bring to the table?" First of all, I'm a child of God. Thank you very much. Like, what? Right? You are loved because you were a creation of God, because you were formed of the dust of the earth and he breathed his breath of life into your lungs. That gives you inherent value to the creator of the universe. And the hustle culture and the alpha grind set and all that, like, it just sells you short every single time. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Sing along if you know the words. Tells me that I'm saved by grace through faith and not by works. Like, yeah, faith without works is dead. I get it. But faith in Jesus Christ is what saves you. It's what gives you your sonship, your daughtership, your slice of the king, your admittance into the kingdom of heaven is by faith in the saving blood of Jesus Christ, not by works. The works come because I'm compelled, because my God is so good to me. I want to give to him. With great power comes great responsibility. That's somewhere in the Bible, right? Listen, no amount of serving your church or being recognized by your peers or sacrificing your personal relationships to say yes to this, that, and the other thing will make you more saved or more loved by Jesus. It is an endless rat race chasing your tail. You will tire yourself out. You will get burned out so fast. So fast. At the end of your life, it's "well done, good and faithful servant." It has nothing to do with how much stuff you accumulated because of hard work, and everything to do with what you did with what God gave you. It's everything to do with your stewardship of the life that God gave you. There is nothing that you can physically do to reap the reward of inheriting the kingdom of heaven. The work of Jesus was enough. Listen, if you think that you can do something and Jesus loves you more, or somebody else is more saved than you because they do this, that, or the other thing. That's the same thing as me telling you, yeah, Jesus, like, I don't know, man, like, I get that you died for me and stuff, but I don't know if all that was enough. I would never. So why do we act like it? Like saying yes to one more thing is going to somehow... Nah, man. Holy Spirit is here to give you the discernment to let your yes be the best yes and let the no be the good no. The work of Jesus was enough to find you righteous in the eyes of the Father. I need only to believe and follow. To God, my sonship is a gift of freedom. To man, my acceptance is the shackles of conformity. If you struggle to be accepted by other people and you struggle to be approved and validated, examine yourself. Take a good look inward at yourself. Search your heart. Keep guard of your thoughts. Don't ever think that, man, I need to chase that because that person is successful. I promise you, the definition of success in the kingdom of heaven has nothing to do with our definition of success. The internet is inundated with all kinds of people that are saying, like, oh, you got to hustle. You got to have like 5 jobs and 3 side gigs. And bro, like if you're sleeping more than 3 hours a night, like you're wasting money, bro. Or, man, you got to be on every single team at church. You got to be doing it. You got to be there every time the doors are open. Let me not get myself in trouble. If you have a family, hear me very clearly. Your family is your first ministry, period. The last thing I want to do is go to church and serve teenagers when the ones I have at home are starving. I don't want to do that. I don't want that to be me. I've seen people burn out and flame out. Insulate yourself from the burnout. Put away man's measuring stick and pick up God's. When you ask Holy Spirit, what yes am I supposed to be yesing? What no am I supposed to be knowing? Show me what to do. Show me when to rest. Take a Sabbath. Once a week, take a Sabbath. Rest, because God showed us to rest. The Christian hustle culture should be, I'm going to hustle to get to know Jesus and as close to him in his presence as much as possible. It has nothing to do with having 20 side gigs. Listen, I get it. Like if you got to make ends meet or you have the free time and you want to serve the church and that's a desire that you have, man, as long as you're not doing it for man's approval, go for it. Go for it. None of these things are bad. Making money is not bad. Loving money is. Serving the church is not bad. Neglecting other things in your life that are your responsibility given to you by the Lord, that is bad. I've been that guy. So desperate to attain some kind of title, some kind of validation, some kind of recognition that I'm never going to get. Try to get some kind of title that God never had for me to begin with. I got little people at home. They're like, Dad, are you going to another meeting? Not anymore. No. No. Not anymore. That's not me. I'm not that guy, pal. I don't want that to be you either. Never put things with God's name on it before the things that God put right in front of you. Just because something has God's name on it doesn't mean it's good for you right now. Like, yeah, like you could do all these things. There's so many opportunities to love people and to serve. But man, for parents, for married people, like, your first ministry is within the four walls of your house. Let's get our own homes in order. Let's get our own hearts in order. Let's get our own souls in order. And then start saying yes to things. I'm not saying be perfect and then go out. you'll know. Holy Spirit will let you know. You'll have the discernment. But don't compare yourself. It's a trap. Use God's measuring stick, not yours, not man's. Because trying to get the approval of men, that's going to run you ragged. But God says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come to me. I'll give you rest. God said, I will give you rest. So the measuring stick of God says, you're my child. You're good enough. The blood of Jesus covers you. You're redeemed. It's by grace that you're saved through faith, not of works. And come to me, I'll give you rest. Dude, I want that life. I want that life instead of feeling like I gotta constantly like create content and keep up with trends and post on the socials. Because I got to grow the podcast because then more people get to hear the message. The Lord is going to put this in whoever's ears that needs to hear it. And if you think people need to hear it, you hit the share button, all right? Because I'm done being on social media. I don't have the time. I don't want to have the time. I don't want you to want to have the time. Because there's so much more important stuff than trying to get the approval of a world that hates us to begin with. Don't fall for the trap. Don't fall for the trap. Anyways, thanks so much for listening. Much love, seriously, to everybody that listens. Much love to everybody that leaves a positive rating on whatever your preferred platform is, whether it's Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Do they call it iTunes anymore? I don't know. I'm not an Apple guy. Google Podcasts is going away, but that's fine. I think it's going to be on YouTube Music. I don't know, dude. It's all changing. And like I said, I don't want to have the time to keep up with it, but I kind of have to know a little bit if I'm going to be uploading podcasts. But that's the nature of the beast. So anyways, like I said, if you want to hit me up for anything or you want links to see what I'm up to or anything like that, links to the socials, Linktree.com/preaching to myself. That's linktr.ee/preaching to myself. You could also go to Amazon and pick up the 90-day Old Testament or New Testament journal. Get started in reading God's word. Hopefully I've got some other things coming up this year that are pretty exciting. And thank you so much, man. Everybody that listens and encourages me to record more and to upload more. It is encouraging. And there's a little pressure, but the good kind of pressure. Thank you so much for listening. We'll catch you next time on the Preaching Myself podcast. See ya. Bye-bye.